All right, for the past 10 weeks, we have been talking about heaven. And we've talked about how wonderful it's going to be, talked about how beautiful it's going to be, talked about what a wonderful blessing it will be to be there and to be able to dwell in the presence of our God and in the presence of our Savior. And I wish that we could stop there. I wish we could just end it with that. However, we cannot. Because, you see, the Bible makes it perfectly clear that just as surely as there is an eternal heaven of bliss and joy, there's also an eternal hell of torment and sorrow. To give the one without the other would be dishonest. And in order to be the faithful preacher that I ought to be, we need to cover both. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 26 and verse 27 to the Ephesian elders, he said, "I am pure from the blood of all men." In other words, I do not have the blood of any man on my hands. And then he gives the reason why he made the statement. Here's what he said. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Not just the good parts, all of it. Charles Spurgeon was right. He preached a message on September the 4th in 1855 on the subject of heaven and hell. And in that message, he made this statement. He said, "What is written in the Bible must be preached, whether it be gloomy or cheerful." We have to preach all of it. It's God's Word. And so we have to deal with all of it. So I want to turn our attention tonight. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at the other side of this issue. We're going to be looking at the dark side, if you will. And we're going to focus on the eternal future. We're going to focus on the eternal destiny of those who die without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I'll be honest with you. I find no pleasure in dealing with this subject. But we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it. And so I want us to begin as we look at this evening. You remember we talked about the number of people who would be in heaven. Remember that? And the passage that we looked at was Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You remember we made the statement that according to this text, the great majority of people, and you remember the example that we saw suggested was three-fourths of the people, that are born into this world are going to miss heaven. They're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And eventually they're going to end up in this place called hell. According to Fox News, in a poll that was done in 2005, it was discovered that among Americans, 87% believe in heaven. 87% believe in heaven. Only 74% believe in hell, and less than 1% believe they're going there. In other words, there's some really weird ideas when it comes to this subject of hell. And the sad thing is that even among so-called Christians, there is great debate over the reality of an eternal hell. And we're going to be talking about that over the next couple of weeks. Because of the false teachings that are being spread, I think it's important for us to understand exactly what the Bible has to say about this place called hell. And I think it's important for us to take a couple of weeks to take a study of it. So I want us to begin tonight by noticing, number one, as you follow along in your notes, I want us to notice the words of hell. The words of hell. In other words, what are the words in the Bible that are translated hell? And first of all, I want us to notice the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is Sheol. Sheol. But it has actually been translated, even though it's only one word, it's actually been translated in three different ways. And the translation has been determined by the context in which the word was used. And so as we consider this word Sheol, we find that actually what we have is a progressive revelation. It is a progressive revelation. For those of you who've been studying methods of Bible study, that should ring a bell. Progressive revelation. And what we find here is that progressively we get a picture of the end for those who die without knowing the Lord. Notice, first of all, that this word Sheol in Genesis chapter 37, verse number 35, it is translated grave. It is translated grave. In Genesis 37, verse number 35, it says concerning Jacob's sons and daughters, it says that they rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, for he said, "For I will go down into the grave." The word is Sheol. "I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. So the first thing we learn about this Sheol, or this place that is referred to in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the first thing that we learn then is that Sheol is a place of death. That's the first thing that we learn. It is a place of death. But then as you read further in the Old Testament, you find an additional point is made. Because not only is the word Sheol translated grave, it is also translated pit. It is translated pit. Concerning Korah, you remember Korah was the man who raised the rebellion against Moses. And concerning Korah, we're told in Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 30. Moses is speaking of this rebellion. And he said this. He said, "If the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit," Sheol. The earth opens up, they go down into the pit, "then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." So not only is Sheol used to speak of a place of death, it is used to speak of a pit. And it is a pit that swallows up those who provoke God. In verse number 33 of that same chapter, the Bible says that exactly what Moses said, that's what happened. The Bible says that they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, Sheol. They went down into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. So here we find, not only is Sheol a place of death, but it is also a place of judgment. For those who provoke, for those who anger the Lord God. It is a place of death. It is a place of judgment. And may I remind you, Psalm 7 verse number 11 says that God is angry with the wicked every day. He is angry with the wicked every day. Sheol, a place of death, a place of judgment. Number three, it is also translated hell. It is translated hell. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21 and verse number 22, the Lord God, speaking through Moses concerning the nation of Israel, said this. He said, "They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God." In other words, the people of Israel had provoked the Lord to anger with their idolatry. They were worshiping things other than God. And they have provoked the Lord. They have moved Him to jealousy. "They have provoked me to anger," God said, "with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a," listen to it, "a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell," Sheol, "and shall consume the earth with her increase, and shall set on fire the foundations of the mountains." So hell, or Sheol in the Bible, it is a place of death. It is the grave. It is a pit where God judges those who provoke Him. And it is a burning fire. It is a burning fire. That's the Old Testament revelation of this place called Sheol. Now we come to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we find that there are actually two different Greek words that are translated hell in our Bible. There are two different Greek words that are translated. First of all, there is the word Hades. Hades. This word is used in the Greek New Testament 11 times. It's used 11 times in the Bible. And just like the Hebrew word Sheol, it also carries the idea of a place of death. Carries the idea of a place of death. In fact, it's translated grave in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 55. It's translated grave. However, that is the only place in the New Testament where it's translated grave. In every other place, it is translated hell. It's translated hell. For example, Luke chapter 16, verse number 23. You remember the rich man died, and the Bible says, "In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." In other words, what we learn here is that this word Hades, it speaks of two things. First of all, it does speak of physical death. It does speak of physical death. The grave is for the physical body. The grave is for the physical body. However, the idea that is most consistently presented in the New Testament is that hell is not just a place for the physical body, it is a place of spiritual death. It is a place of spiritual death. It is a place of torment for the soul and for the spirit. A place of spiritual death. Hades. The second word that is translated hell in the New Testament is the word Gehenna. It was in this place, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 3, where the Jews sacrificed their children. They would sacrifice their children as a burnt offering to the Canaanite god Molech. This was the place where they would do that. This place was located to the south of Jerusalem, just outside the walls of the city. And for that reason, according to the Jewish encyclopedia, for that reason, the valley was deemed to be accursed. It was deemed to be accursed. And therefore, after the Babylonian captivity and during the days of Jesus, this place called Gehenna had actually become nothing more than a huge garbage dump. It was a huge garbage dump. We're told that it was the place where the dead bodies of animals would be thrown out. It was also a place where the dead bodies of criminals would be discarded. It was a place that was filled with all kinds of filth, and there was kept a constant fire burning in that place. That was the Gehenna that Jesus spoke of in his day, and he likened it to hell. He likened it to hell. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, that's the very word Jesus used when he said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." In hell. A young man told me one time that he wanted to go to hell. He actually told me that. He said he wanted to go to hell because he wanted to be there with all of his buddies. That's kind of a popular idea. Unfortunately, those who say that have absolutely no concept of what hell is really like. They don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. Hell is not a place of fun and games and parties and good times. Hell is a place of death. It's a place of corruption. It's a place of eternal torment. The words of hell make those points very clear. Not only do we see the words of hell, number two, I want us to consider the location of hell. The location of hell. I believe the Bible clearly states for us the location of hell. And let me make it very simple. Let me make it very clear. Okay? It's down. That's easy, isn't it? It's down. It's down. Notice the wording we find. Psalm 55, verse number 15. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick. Where? Into hell. Down into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As we consider the locations of hell, I want us to consider the location from two perspectives. Consider the location from two perspectives. First of all, let's consider it from the perspective of before Calvary. Before Calvary. Jesus told a story of two men who died. Luke chapter 16, you remember. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. In Luke chapter 16, verse 22, verse number 23, Jesus said, "It came to pass, the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments," listen carefully, "and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. When the rich man saw Lazarus, he asked that he might be shown mercy. He asked that Lazarus might be able to dip his finger in water and come over to where he was and cool his tongue, for he said, 'I'm tormented in this fire. I'm tormented in this flame.' And you remember the answer that was given to him. Abraham said, down in Luke 16 and verse number 26, Abraham said, that is not possible. And here's why. He said, between us and you, where we are in paradise, where you are in hell, there's a gulf that is fixed. There's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, in those days, before the cross of Calvary, paradise and hell were side by side, separated by a great gulf. Later on, when the Lord Jesus was crucified, He was crucified with two other men. You remember the story. He was crucified with two men who were thieves. And the Bible says that while they were on the cross, one of the thieves railed against Him. He mocked Him. He cursed Him. But the other thief recognized His sinfulness. He recognized the holiness of Christ. And you remember that thief said to the Lord Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the Lord Jesus responded to that request with these words. They're found in Luke chapter 23, verse number 43. Jesus said unto him, "Today shalt thou be with me," where? In paradise. In paradise. Now, before His crucifixion, Jesus gave a prophecy. Before He went to the cross of Calvary, Jesus gave a prophecy in Matthew 12, verse number 40. And in that prophecy, here's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights," where? "In the heart of the earth." In the heart of the earth. Now we use this verse to speak of the fact that when Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb, that his body was literally in the grave 3 days, three nights. 72 hours. 3 days, three nights. Very technical term there. It's 3 days, 72 hours total. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. However, I want you to understand that that's not really what Jesus was talking about. Because you see, Jesus said, the Son of Man, speaking of the real person, not just the body that He dwelt in. Right? He's talking about Himself as a real person. The Son of Man is going to be there. Soul and spirit. The body went into the grave. Yes, but the soul and spirit went to paradise. That's why He told the thief, "I'll see you today. Just a little while. We'll be there, okay? I'll see you today." We'll be there. Soul and spirit. Jesus would be in paradise while the body was in the grave. And where would that paradise be where Jesus would go for 3 days and three nights? Matthew 12, verse number 40. It would be in the heart. The center of the earth. That's what the word means. Be in the heart. And to be in the center of the earth. And so since paradise and hell were side by side, and since paradise was in the center of the earth, then it naturally follows, where is hell? It's in the center of the earth. It's in the center of the earth. That's before Calvary. Now I want us to look at it from another perspective. And I want us to consider it after Calvary. After Calvary. When Jesus Christ began His ministry, John the Baptist introduced Him with some very unique words. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Takes away the sin of the world. This was a very new concept. It was a very new concept. Because you see, in Judaism, all of the sacrifices, the shedding of the blood and the offering of the lambs and the goats and the bulls and all of that, all of those offerings that were offered and all the blood that was shed in the Old Testament economy, all of those offerings were only able to cover sin. None of them could take away sin. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, He said, in those sacrifices, talking about the Old Testament time, in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. In other words, every year they had to keep bringing the same sacrifices for the same sin. Because the blood of the sacrifice only covered it for 1 year. So the next year they had to bring the sacrifice again. And then they had to bring it again and again and again. And every year they had to bring the same sacrifice. They had to make the same atonement every year. And then He states the reason why. For it is not possible. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did exactly what John the Baptist foretold. He's the Lamb of God who doesn't just cover sin, He takes it away. Takes it away. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. This man, Paul writes, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Once that perfect sacrifice for sin had been offered, once the full atonement for sin had been made, Jesus Christ went to paradise. He went to paradise. And moved those Old Testament saints who were in paradise, He moved them to heaven. He moved them to heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:8 that when Jesus Christ ascended up on high, He led captivity captive. Led captivity captive. And then the Apostle Paul gives us the explanation of that in verse 9 and verse number 10. Ephesians 4, listen to it. Now He that ascended, talking about Christ, He that ascended, what is it but that He also descended first? Where did He go? He descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Now here's the point. Before Calvary, paradise and hell were side by side. After Calvary, paradise was moved. It's now in heaven. But hell has not moved. Hell has not moved. And therefore, when we talk about the location of hell, where is hell located? I believe that the answer today is simply that hell is in that region which the Bible calls the lower parts of the earth. I believe hell is in that region the Bible refers to as the very heart, the very center of the earth. We're going to stop here. We're going to continue from this next time. But as we bring this to a close, let me share with you a most tragic testimony. A famous teacher, Johann ben Zakkaiah, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, it says that he wept before his death. He's a rabbi, religious man, probably very similar to Nicodemus, John chapter 3. The Jewish Encyclopedia says that he wept before his death, and here's why he wept. It was because he did not know whether he would go to paradise or to hell. What a tragedy. Come to your end of your life, and you don't know what is next. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? I can't think of anything more tragic than that, to be real honest with you. I can't think of anything sadder than that. To come to the end of our existence and to not know what is on the other side. Tragedy indeed. The fact is, every one of us is going to spend eternity somewhere. We're going to spend eternity either in heaven or we're going to spend eternity in hell. And if you do not know tonight 100% for sure that if you were to breathe your last breath tonight that heaven would be your home, then I would urge you, before you lay your head on your pillow tonight, that you get that thing settled. That you get it settled so that you will know for sure, that instead of going to this place called hell, that you'll have a reservation made for you in that wonderful place called heaven. Not through any merit of your own, but through the provision that is made for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your